thank you all for joining us, joining me. I want to thank Rabbi Targan and the other organizers of this conference for putting this all together. You mentioned words of Torah, but actually I'm not going to share words of Torah, if that's okay. Just the chinuch of our children is so important to everyone in our community. And I just wanted to share some thoughts, my thoughts with you on that. And again, it's a real honor and pleasure to be with you today. It's such a special conference, so many amazing speakers. So thank you for taking your time to be with me. I think that there's two... Yes, come in.
Oh, hello.
Join us. The two areas where I think our community can improve is, among many, is number one in terms of our high school boys. It's number one in terms of their commitment to Talmud Torah. And number two in terms of their commitment to tefillah. And in my view, the need for improvement stems from one thing, and that is that we as parents and educators are setting our goals way below the true potential of our Talmidim. And I'd like to offer a few methods today for parents and future parents to positively encourage our Talmidim to reach for higher standards. When we're talking about improving, it's always fair to paint the entire picture very accurately. As a community, our shuls are full of high school students davening, and the vast majority of our high school students are attending yeshiva for 4 years in high school, and then they're going off to Israel. Everyone in Yirtzeh Hashem is going to marry someone Jewish and remain committed to halacha. So if we're grading ourselves religiously, obviously we deserve very high marks, and we should be very proud of what we've accomplished as a community. And this is due to the unwavering commitment to Judaism on behalf of our parents and educators and our shuls and yeshivas. But despite our successes in Bergen County, cheshvan ha-nefesh, constructive critique, is a part of being a growing Jew. And this conference is a great time for us to think about how we can improve in these two areas. They're not necessarily the most important areas where we need to improve, but they are areas where I think we can all agree to focus our efforts. So let's begin with the high schoolers' commitment to personal growth in Talmud Torah. If I were to ask you, who is the greatest role model in the modern Orthodox, Bergen County, Jewish community, past and present, alive and not alive, who would you say? You can only pick one person.
Rav Soloveitchik.
Right? Excellent. So we have people I
dug a hole for myself.
No, right? We have people who I paid to be here, and we have people who I gave the answers to before. Okay. He was certainly a gadol, and certainly that was because he was a leader of our community, he was a great philosopher, but it was primarily because he achieved an unparalleled level of erudition in Gemara mastery and analysis. During his 40 years of shiurim at YU, he trained thousands of lay leaders to become Talmidei Chacham. He ordained 2,000 rabbis who, under his tutelage, achieved a sophisticated understanding of Yoredeya. For every Sugya and Shas, he added novel insights using the Brisker method. And the entire second part of Halachic Man, his magnum opus, highlights how creating Chidushei Torah is the greatest form of human creation. He spent his personal and professional life mastering Gemara, and he challenged his students to become masters in their own right. He had very high expectations for every student. If you came into his shiur and you hadn't prepared the entire Gemara beforehand, he would cream you. So the question I'd like to ask you today is, are we educating our children on a path that would meet his lofty expectations? And would many of our Talmidim be capable of sitting in his shiur?
I would say yes. We've come beyond that, I think. I'm of the age where I remember him very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the community has really put more focus on Gemara and davening. I guess you're going to go on a different day.
But well, we'll agree to disagree there.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. So I think that's probably why I wanted to talk about this, because I think that's probably what most people in the community think.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I see a lot of positive in our high schoolers' connection to Talmud Torah. The two I see most are, number one, the Talmidim maintain very strong relations with warm Rabbeim. In every school, wherever you are, the Rabbeim are warm, and they have a strong connection with their Rabbeim. Secondly, they enjoy learning. Most kids, you know, enjoy their Jewish studies classes. However, and this is where I disagree with you, I do not think that the vast majority are on track to be Talmidei Chacham. And most of our children are amassing very limited knowledge, not receiving necessary skills to learn on their own. And if you look at the time they're spending outside of the classroom learning on their own, voluntarily, it's very minimal. Most students will learn in yeshiva during their high school years and outside of yeshiva together less than 30 pages of the Gemara, which is about 1 month of Daf Yomi. So before they head off to Israel, very few Talmidim will feel that they can open up a daf, just walk into a Beis Medrash, sit down with the Chumash and Rashi on their own. The number of students devoting free time to their learning outside of school is very minimal. Very few enter the Beis Medrash at shul at night, Shabbos, attend a voluntary shir by their rabbi. How many would you estimate, how many under bar mitzvah kids are attending Motzei Shabbos learning in our community, coming to a shul on Motzei Shabbos? Thousands. It's amazing.
That's right.
There are very few high schoolers who are in the Beis Medrash on Saturday.
Oh my boys.
So there's a tremendous drop-off for our high school kids. Yeah. So, again, we can agree to disagree, but I think that the situation needs improvement, and I think that we can empower a stronger commitment to personal Torah study in our high school age students. The question is, how do we do that? And I'd like to give you some suggestions. But if you have any other comments, first I'll take those comments.
I think when you're talking about not enough commitment, maybe not enough, but the question is, are you looking at this to compare to something, or in general, it's not enough? Because, I mean, I don't think historically it's correct to say that the Jews always have such a strong commitment to the Gemara. It's probably this talented 5%, these are the people, and that, when there was children, they was learning.
Historically, if we would compare our community to the community of Mir, we would be ahead in terms of what our high schoolers are learning.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that. We don't live in Mir. You know, we live in Teaneck, New Jersey. And I think that...
What would you compare our children to Haredi community? I'm not sure what's happened by them either.
Right. Well, I don't want to do that either, although I am going to make a comparison to the Haredi community in a second. But I'm going to talk about what my expectations would be for every kid in the community, no matter what school they're in, no matter what level they're at. And you tell me if I'm crazy at that point, okay? So let's talk about tefillah now.
Right.
Okay, tefillah, no one would argue, tefillah is one of the cornerstones of our community, Judaism. So we've built so many amazing shuls. You and I can remember, and probably some other people in this room, when I used to come to Bnei Yishurun, it was the old main shul and the basement. That was when I came. You probably came before that.
I came in 1975. They could not get a daily minyan.
Right.
The shul had to sign up to make sure that there was a morning minyan.
And, you know, so when I was here in the early 80s, when I came to Bnei Yishurun, this place was huge because I used to daven up the block at Rina, and Rina was a little house with 98 seats, which I'm sure was not legal. That many seats in that little building. But anyway, what we've done in this community in terms of building shuls, committing dollars and hours, it's clear that a value in our community is tefillah. No one would debate that. However, I think our high schoolers need to improve. Many Talmidim do not come to shul on Shabbos because they view it as a day of rest. I'm not talking about large percentage. I'm just telling you, many, in my experience, do not come to Shul on Shabbos. It's a day of rest. They have very busy schedules. They have a lot of studies. They're tired. They don't come. A low percentage of high school Talmidim are attending Minyan on Sundays or Fridays or any other day when the yeshiva does not have a school. Students who are attending davening or davening at home or in their yeshivas, in every yeshiva, are sleeping through large segments of davening and don't understand many of the words. And they don't feel a real connection to Hashem during their davening. So the second question will be, what can we do to inspire our Talmidim to come to shul more often on Shabbos, days off, and to raise the number of students that are praying with more kavana.
I'm just like, again.
Disagree?
No, not disagree. I'm just saying that we have.
What am I comparing it to?
Right. What are you comparing it to? Right. Because again, I'm referring to the. I think son of Rav Soloveitchik wrote an article about that. That his childhood, old people come to shul because they were singing. Yom Kippur, they didn't come, but they were singing that God is there in their lives.
Right.
And they come. But now we not really. So religious,
yeah.
And so intimate religious as they. So
that's a much deeper issue that I'm not going to tackle. That may be a more important issue, which is what's our really. I think Rabbi Tversky is going to talk about that.
Right.
What's our connection with Hashem?
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to leave that for greater rabbis. The answer, I think, is very simply that our expectations for our children are too low, and I think that if we raise our expectations. Regarding Torah and Tefillah, I believe that our kids could accomplish a lot more. Let me just talk a little bit about expectations. Expecting greatness of ourselves is critical to Avodas Hashem. The Tanit Ve'elio says that you have to ask yourself, Matay yagiu ma'asai l'masei avos. So who do we compare ourselves to? You have to ask yourself every day, am I as great as Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov? That's what Tanit Ve'elio says. So the Rav Nevensal asked the following. That's a bad question to ask in the beginning. We should start with, okay, are we a good Jew? Then we should work up, are we a great Jew? Then one day we can say, are we as great as Avraham Yitzchak? And he says, no. You see from this words of Chazal, from these words of Chazal, from the very beginning, you have to try to be as great as Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And this philosophy is not only true of personal growth in Avodas Hashem, but it's true in educational philosophy today. Nothing to do with Judaism. So Harry Wong wrote an important book called The First Days of School, and he reports the following study from the 1960s from Harvard. And the study is as follows. What they did was they took five teachers in a room, and they said, okay, we have this, we gave IQ tests in the entire school. These 20 kids, I'm giving you a list, you know, a few in each class, they're the top 20 kids in the entire school. Okay, we want you to expect a lot more from these students than any other students in the entire school. So then the year goes by, they take their achievement test, those 20 kids score higher than anybody else in the school. They bring the teachers back in, they say, great job, these 20 kids scored higher than everybody else in the school. So the teachers say, it's not really, we'd love to take credit for it and get raises, but we can't do anything. You told us from the beginning these 20 kids were the best 20 kids in the school. And then, as you can imagine, the researchers say to them, these 20 kids were picked randomly. They had no different IQ than anybody else in the school. So what he says is as follows, it's very important, that the study shows, try to quote you these words, that how we perceive our children, what we believe they can accomplish, and what we hold them responsible to accomplish, they will accomplish regardless of their academic potential. And we are really succeeding in, I want to show you how this works in our community in a different area. We're creating very high expectations that in other communities would be considered crazy. But by just having that basic expectation, we have succeeded across the board with all our students. And this is where I want to compare us to the Haredi community for a second. The Haredi world, many of the high schools do not offer rigorous general studies programs. And what's not known to many in our community is it's not because they don't value the basic high school education. In fact, one of the leading yeshivas, the yeshiva in Philadelphia, headed by Rabbi Kamenetsky Shlita, is known for its rigorous secular program. So what are the other yeshivas thinking? They don't believe that their talmidim can handle it. They fear that if they offer a general studies program that is rigorous, that either the students will not succeed in their learning, or they'll fail those classes, or both. Our community is proving them wrong, and all of our yeshivas devote much time to both Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol. At all levels, our talmidim are succeeding in both. Most of our high schools are open 8 to 5, with 9 hours of davening, learning, and academics, with a short break for breakfast, lunch, and gym. Most Haredi high schools are open for 11 hours a day, but have more breaks. if the students in Bergen County can learn the entire day straight and maintain rigor and decorum in both sides of the coin, they can do it as well. And the reason that they're not is because they're selling their kids very short, and they're not believing that their kids can sit that long during the day and accomplish in both areas.
You don't think it's because they don't do that?
Yeah. I think they're afraid of what that...
I mean, there's other factors, but this is a main factor. Yeah. Because you can't argue with Rabbi Kamenetsky. He's spoken about this publicly in other times. It's not... They don't value, let's say, a college education, but at the high school level, they do value it. They're just afraid that the kids can't handle it. And I think we're doing the same thing in our community when it comes to Torah and to Tefillah. We're selling our kids very short. I think our kids would master more Gemara or other Jewish subjects if we had very high expectations for them. One very finite example, I'll give you this, and this is where you can tell me if it works or not, is for each kid on their own time to learn an entire Masechta, or you could take a different subject, to do some type of personal learning project which demonstrates mastery. So I think they can do it. I'll give you an example. How many people in their bar mitzvah year make a siyum with their father or with a tutor, and they learn a Seder of Mishnayos, or they learn a Masechta? Again, it's not the whole community, but it's a large segment. How many of those same students in the next 4 years complete that same type of learn? So we have to expect that each of them will devote, I think, fairly an hour or two a week to personal Torah study, and they can complete some significant learning project. I think they can do this. I think our Talmidim would attend davening with a minyan every day and would be constantly working on making tefillah more meaningful if that was the expectation. Do we accept if a kid misses a day of school? No. So why would we accept if a kid misses a day of shul? Right. So why do we have these low expectations?
In that area. You know, I'm from an older generation, so I think if I speak, I don't know if it's applicable today.
Please.
To be honest with you. But I think, and I'm talking about what I saw, there was a real push and a motivation for kids to excel in secular studies and make something of themselves in the secular world in terms of getting a profession that will afford yeshiva education. And there was a big push, I don't know if it's still the case, for kids to go to Ivy League schools and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that a lot of the high schools also felt that pressure. They were rated on how many of their students went to Ivy League schools. Again, I don't know.
Right.
My children are in their 30s. I don't know if that's still the case today. So I think...
Let me take a step back. I just want to clarify one thing. Since I'm biased here, because I work at a high school, I'm trying to stay outside of the school day. So what I'm trying to say is that we're talking about 1 or 2 hours a week of extra Torah on their own.
You're looking within the day.
Outside of the high school day. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, because they do.
And also I'm talking about outside of school, do they come to shul?
Those two things?
Those two examples I'm looking at.
Well, that I agree with you.
You know, that's
I think every high school boy should be going to shul.
Right.
Every morning, yeah. And learning.
Mincha Maariv.
Yeah.
And learning.
Yeah.
Shabbos afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, every day.
School would help. I know that all the sons, the school help because they assign them a project.
Right.
You guys have to learn.
The morning and they learn.
So he learned outside of the school. He was, but so
I figured
not. The other guy was there. So one can come and another come. So they learn on their own. But
I figured that not too many other school principals would come today. So I thought I would target my remarks towards parents and grandparents and
grandparents.
Future parents.
Yeah.
So.
Teachers.
No, okay. I understand.
By the way, I happen to agree. That was one of the things I had listed.
Yeah.
So why I think we have low expectations. One of them, I think, but I phrase it a little bit differently. Let me start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Firstly, obviously, I believe that the low expectations due to we don't really fully appreciate the capabilities of what our kids could do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the problem. Number two is that we're worried about fighting with our kids, and we're worried about putting too much pressure on them, and we're worried about the consequences of those fights and the emotionally and religiously. So I'm going to suggest some ways that we could possibly raise expectations without fighting and without pressurizing our kids more than they need to be. I do think that there is a large concern in our general community that if our kids donate significant time to learning and daven intensely, that they will move away. They will move to a more right-wing community, or they won't pursue a career. I think that that is a concern that some people have. I don't think it's many, because I think that if you ask any, that's why I started with Rabbi Soloveitchik, and I started with the fact that look how much effort the community has put into shuls and davening. Every rabbi in this community would espouse the same view, that every one of our kids should have the goal of being a master of Torah, of committing time to Talmud Torah. And it's the responsibility of every Jew to be at every tefillah. I don't think any rabbi in this community, all of our leaders would agree. So commitment to Torah and commitment to tefillah, it's a core belief of our community, and it's not going to take away from any of the other beliefs of our community, such as pursuing a college degree or pursuing a profession. So the key question is, how can we as a community grow, take that next step to raise the expectations to this level? And most importantly, how can we do it in a positive and healthy manner? How am I doing with time? 5 minutes. Okay, so four quick suggestions. Four very quick. Number one, we as a community have to have very clear goals. If you don't, if the person leading the tour has no idea where he's going, then everybody's going to get lost. So just as I said before, each person should try to be a Talmud Chacham, put a few hours into learning a week, be at every davening, 7 days a week, three tefillos. I don't think these are crazy goals. I think they're manageable for every kid. Number two, we have to formulate these goals and communicate them to our kids. How many times have I told my kid that I would like for him to be a Talmud Chacham one day? How many times have I said, you got to be at every minyan? I need to say it more. We all need to say it more. Our rabbis need to say it more. Our parents need to say it more. Our grandparents need to say it more. The method by which you communicate is critical. If it's you're a bad Jew because you don't go to davening, or you're a bad person, forget about it. They're not going to listen. You may turn them off. They may hate you. They may not want to be Jews anymore. Any negative type of communication never works. It's punishing kids. If you don't go to davening today, I'm taking away everything from your life. It's not. It's usually not effective. I think the way that we need to communicate it is, number one, why is it important to us? Why is it so meaningful for us to? Why do we love Torah and davening so much? If we're not telling that to our kids,
it's
they're not,
the essence of what makes you.
Whatever it
true.
Is,
yeah.
We have to communicate that to our kids at our Shabbos table, in conversations. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that he believed in his generation. When people originally came over, most people were Shomer Shabbos. That next generation was not so many people were Shomer Shabbos. And he argued that the reason for that was because some people came home and said, I can't believe that I'm going to lose my job. This is terrible. I have to keep Shabbos. And some people came home and said, this is very difficult for me, but Shabbos is amazing. I'm going to do it anyway. So he said that if you communicate it in a positive way, why you love Torah and Tefillah to your kids, they're going to get the message. Skipping ahead for a second, everybody loves their kids. The love is unconditional. We express that love often. Praise. What do we praise, though?
You praise a quarter of when you see 20% of what you want, you start praising. That's
so
scientific.
What we praise is important. Okay, my son scored a touchdown in his Super Bowl. So, of course, I gave him praise. You can look up in the paper. He's got his picture in the paper. We're praising him. Everybody's saying, are we praising our kids because they're davening beautifully? Are we praising our kids because they're learning well? If they come home with a grade on a test, that's good. We're going to praise them. Are we going to praise them for their davening and their learning? Most importantly, we have to tell them that the expectations that we have, we know they can do it. So, number one, it's extremely important to our lives that they succeed. For us to succeed personally and for them to succeed in their Torah and Tefillah. Number two, these expectations are, we believe you can do it. And when you do it, when you show effort in this area, we are going to be so proud of you even more proud than we are now. There's no problem, I don't think, with saying that. That doesn't take away from the unconditional love that we have. Two other strategies, and then I'll let you go. Apologize if I'm going over, but two other quick strategies are, number one, no one can do this alone. I can't raise the expectations of my kid and him see all his friends are not doing that. We have to form little communities and say, okay, I'm going to speak to my son's friend's parents and enlist them and empower them. If we all together say our kids have to go to Minyan, if we all say our kids have to stay for a half an hour after that Minyan and learn, so if everybody does that together, then the kid has a chevri, has a community, the parents are all on board. That's the only way that we're going to be able to raise expectations. And the final thing is that we have to choose our role models and our heroes very, very carefully. So which people in our lives occupy most of our conversation? Is it baseball players, actors, politicians? Even Avraham and Moshe are great role models, but some kids feel that, okay, they lived thousands of years ago, and, okay, they're not coming to my shul, so they're not 100% perfect role models. You also, they're great role models, we have to talk a lot about them, but we also have to include our rabbis, our rabbeim, people who they can see and modeling this behavior. We should also include local professionals, lawyers, doctors, whoever lives in your community. You see somebody and he's davening beautifully, he's learning in shul, you have to tell your kids, wow, look at this guy. I walked recently into someone's house, one of my friends, and they had a picture of our Rabbi Neuberger on their wall. So first I was like, whoa, I'm used to seeing him in shul, so... But then I realized that's perfect. In his dining room, he's saying to his kids, he wants them to emulate our rabbi. So I think that's very critical. Now obviously, no one's perfect, and leaders make mistakes, and if someone does something wrong, they have to be taken off the wall of our dining room. But until that point, they should be on our dining room walls. If all our heroes are not people that have achieved the specific areas of success that we're talking about, so the kid feels, why do I need to do that? I don't have to do that to be a hero. But if some of our heroes are people who have achieved success in these particular areas of Tefillah and Torah, then they're going to do it. So just to summarize, I think Torah and Tefillah are pillars of our community. Raising the level of what we expect of our kids in these areas has to be communicated to our youth, not by pressuring them, but by just telling them we believe in them. We have to reserve our highest praise for when we see our children putting in true effort into these goals. And we have to work together as small groups. We have to have small projects for them, learning the Masechta, devoting a few hours to personal learning. Our Bate Medrash will be filled Shabbos afternoon, Sunday nights, weeknights, with children pursuing these goals. Davening three times a day should be expected from a 14-year-old. For a 15-year-old to be able to close his eyes for 1 second every day and have a moment with Hashem should be an expectation every kid can do. And together as a community, I think we can continue to grow and improve upon our amazing accomplishments. All we have to do is believe in ourselves that we can help our kids and believe in our kids that they can achieve the next level of success.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.